So a very warm welcome from my heart to everybody to this talk. So I'm still quite new in doing Dharma talks. It's my second Dharma talk. And I have a request to all of you. Could you please be open for it to go completely wrong? Yeah, so I have this great fortune to talk on really the highest and most sweet gift the spiritual path has to offer to us. And it's going to be a talk on love. And for that I have found like this amazing text in the New Testament. And usually I don't connect so much. I find it's too old and too much rewritten and too much translated and this and that. But there is a jewel in it, which I find quite amazing that it's there. And in German it's called The High Song of Love. And in English it's just called 1 Corinthians 13. Yes, 1 Corinthians 13. And I think almost everybody knows this text. So it's nothing new. And I'm talking too quiet, huh?
yeah, for me, but
yes, okay. So if you can't hear me, just make this, and I try to go up, yeah? And like also by one of the last emails Christopher Titmus was sending out, there was a little, yeah, I don't know how you say in English, but something written about a master who just died in Germany, not far away from the place I'm coming from, an Indian master. And he said, the whole gamut of spirituality can be summed up in just a few words, the experience and expression of love. And Terry, our guest, in the back, she makes like, yes. So I feel it really brings it to the point by my experience. And that's why I feel really, really honored to be allowed to talk on this topic. And it's quite amazing for me to see that I can't get tired of this, my favorite topic. And I feel this is also like the English word is missing. The secret of love, yeah? That one can just not get tired of it if it's real. And the other thing is, to talk about love is quite something's a little bit strange, because you cannot really talk about love. You can just be love, and you can love just flow, and love can express itself. So talking about love, is not really hitting the point. So love is, and then stop. So what I'm going to talk about here now. So anybody who really knows this, yeah, that love cannot be talked about, wastes basically almost his time in sitting here and listening. Instead of just being an expression of love and being out there somewhere, letting it flow. But I say almost because if we are listening with a sense of this love, then love is listening to itself, and then it just becomes a poem we listen to. So love is meeting love, and it enjoys itself even more by listening to it. And then it just flows and flows and flows. And there is really like no end in this capacity of experiencing and living love and letting love flow. So this talk is an invitation to let go into this love, to get a sense of this love and its beauty, so that we can become this love itself. And this talk should also be an invitation to start living from this love, rather than from our mind and from our conditioning. So what I would like to invite you to is to listen from your heart and from your belly and from your complete being, like in a meditative state, rather than from the mind and letting it like flow through the mind. Because love cannot be captured, cannot be caught, cannot be understood by mind. So, it was also quite interesting how this text kind of came to me, because like 2 or 3 days before the retreat started, I met Terry, who's our guest today. And we were sitting together and by the fire, listening to music. And I came in and I said, I'm looking for a good translation of this German text. I don't know even how it's called in English. The translation is The Highest Song of Love, and it's about love. And Terry said, oh yeah, this one, it's my favorite one. And she said the best translation is by Phillips. And Vijay, sitting next to me, the manager of the estate, just took this book and said, oh, here, the translation of Phillips. And then the mark was even there. And he opened the book and Terry started to read. And the mark is like still at the same spot. It didn't change it. And that really shows how powerful this text is. And I can remember between all the posters as a child I had in my room when I was 14, there were like all these horses everywhere. And then I had also a poster with this text written on. So I'm just going into this beautiful text now. And it says, if I speak with the eloquence of men and of angels, but have no love, I become no more than the blaring brass or crashing cymbal. If I speak with the eloquence of men and women and of angels, but have no love, I become no more than blaring brass or crashing cymbal. And what does it say? It just says if we speak about truth and consciousness or love and we don't have any of this sense inside of us, even if what we say is fully true, then what we say can really hurt to our ears. And I think about Thiru somehow and the people who are attending so many satsangs and then speak the concepts they get about. And I sit in one of these restaurants and somebody kind of pours all this truth on me, this concept. And then like something shakes me and I just want to put earplugs and run away. But if love is in this speech, yeah, even if it does not fully hit the point, we can feel it and we know what the speaker is talking about. And it flows in like a sweet healing river of honey. So if we have the gift of even foretelling the future and hold in my mind not only all human knowledge, but the very secrets of God, and if I also have the absolute faith which can move mountains, but have no love, I amount to nothing at all. So if I have the foretelling of the future and holding in my mind not only all human knowledge, but the very secrets of God, and if I also have the absolute faith which can move mountains, but have no love, I amount to nothing at all. So it says, if I have the gift of foretelling the future, foretelling the future, it's somehow really something we like. Most of us are curious in our horoscope. If it's about the next day or the next week or the next month or the next year or our complete life. Or if we know everything about manifestation, everything about science, or even everything about spirituality. If we could create our life exactly the way we want it to be and could get everything which is on our wish list. But we don't have this love. It would be nothing at all. And this is something that also brought me on the path. I was in Munich in my apartment, really nice, overlooking the city, having a fancy car, having a very loving boyfriend, having a very good job, which was my dream job when I was a child, having a fancy car. Did I say this already?
You had two cars.
I had two cars. One for the winter and the cabriolet for the summer.
This is right.
And I was miserable. And I was getting miserable and more miserable, not knowing what is missing. Really waiting for something. Waiting for something that's changing the situation. For a book, for somebody to show me which way to go. And I projected it on my boyfriend and broke up the relationship because I thought he's not giving me enough love. But it is really this love which is inside of us, which we can find only if we go in, which is nourishing us. So if I dispose of all that I possess, yes, even if I give my own body to be burned, but have no love, I achieve precisely nothing. And here it speaks about giving, giving from the right place. So if we give because we think we have to give, because of some ideas of being good, or because we are taught to or conditioned, then this giving is very dry. And I also think about some presents I have received from people which just thought they have to give me something. And we can really feel that there is some dryness in it. And this present, even if it's very big, is not from a lot of value from us. But if something is given, something's very small, like this little sweets we had on our cushions last time, it's really nourishing and brings such a joy. So it's not about what is given, it's about from what place it is given and from what place we are able to receive it. This love of which I speak is slow to lose patience. It looks for a way of being constructive. It is not possessive. It is neither anxious to impress, nor does it cherish inflated ideas of its own importance. So this love of which I speak is slow to lose patience. And if I hear this word patience, I have to think about the patience masters have. Really continuously reminding us over and over again the same thing, not getting tired of it. And really, really persistently knowing that this is bringing us forward. This is something we can lean upon and build upon until we know it fully by ourselves. So it says also, it looks for a way of being constructive. And the mind is fast and wants results and can also be very constructive. But the mind is missing this softness and patience, which is interested in growing and in the expression of love, and growing more of its own kind. And this love knows that this growing is possible only with patience. Because this love is seeking only itself. And it seeks to grow more of its own kind, like trees, grow more trees. So the mind is constructive as well, but it does sometimes not hesitate to put others down. It doesn't really care. It has no feeling for the other. But in this love, there is such a connection. It always includes the other and flows together. This love knows ways of being constructive, which are always loving and supporting the whole, because it knows about its origin. It comes out of itself and has the interest to cover everything with its flavor. That's why it will be always constructive in growing more of its own kind. It will always be loving and kind. And it will always not use the trickiness of mind, for it knows that that will be its death. The mind can pretend to be loving, but it will always be a love that comes and goes. It will be there and almost look like real love, but only this real love has the persistence which has really a power that cannot be put it down or get lost in any way. So it is not possessive. It is neither anxious to impress, nor does it cherish inflated ideas of its own importance. So here it says that this love is not possessive at all. And on the same time, it is pointed out that what easily can happen, that we cling to something, that we want something badly and we think we love this, but it's just desire. It can also happen that we have an attachment to somebody or something. Easily it can happen that we get attached to our teacher and to that love that comes from the teacher. But this love I'm talking about is resting in itself, and it is so fully nourishing itself that it needs nothing at all than itself. And that's why it can let go of anything or anybody, any moment, without holding on to. So there is no attachment at all. It always happily sets the other free and just goes on loving. There is nothing lost at all. In fact, it even grows in its beauty by having this ability to set the other one free. And on the same time, going on loving. There is an incredible power in this. It is neither anxious to impress, nor does it cherish inflated ideas of its own importance. This love is always humble. There is no higher, there is no lower. It just bows down in front of itself and sees and knows itself everywhere. Simply because that's its nature. Love has good manners and does not pursue selfish advantage. It is not touchy. It does not keep account of evil or glut over the wickedness of other people. So love has good manners and does not pursue selfish advantage. So this love we are speaking about cannot even pursue selfish advantage, even if it would like to. Because at the moment it would do so, it would lose itself. And the only interest this love has is itself, expressing itself, always. It's the interest, the nature of this pure, deep, natural flowing love we are speaking about. To simply have itself at the most important treasure. And it's totally natural, has good manners, not from being taught to, but out of itself, being dedicated to creating just beauty and love. And we can have good manners coming from our conditioning. And that's very tricky, because we can feel that we are fully acting from this love, but it's from our conditioning. And for this love to come, we have to let go not only of our bad habits, but also of our good conditioning. When it's time. So it's not touchy. It is not touchy, and that's really its biggest power. To be able to flow like water in a river, no matter what comes in its way. So slowly but very persistent, it finds its way, even the biggest rocks in its way. This love is like water able to wash all the rocks away. And on this point, Jesus comes to my mind. And the way he was carrying the cross on the day of his condemnation. I don't know if it's the same in English, but condemnation in German is the same like judgment. And if we think about that tremendous amount of negative thoughts and words were thrown against him, the negative judgment and the torture he was going through with his body and his heart. And what did he say in this situation? Father, forgive them, or they don't know what they are doing. And that really shows in what kind of state he was. It comes out of a state that's pure love. And it's this love which is pointed to in this text. And this beautiful text says, it does not keep account of evil or glut over the wickedness of other people. So it's really forgiving. And there is not even any time needed to forgive while standing in this love. On the contrary, it is glad with all good men when truth prevails. It is glad when truth prevails. I think it is prevails. It is glad when truth prevails. Because it enjoys itself and its own flow, flowing from one to another and growing into all directions. So when truth prevails, love is the winner. Love has won. It means the victory of love. Truth and love, they go together like brother and sister. Like love is able to heal, as well truth is able to heal. And we may have experienced in the past how painful it can be if there is a hidden secret somewhere. Somewhere in the family maybe, or between friends, that is not clearly spoken out. That is not on the table, we say in German. And when there is this pretending that everything is fine and well, and people talk to each other in a seemingly very normal way, but everybody can feel that something strange, some tension is underneath, something's disturbing, something's held back. And something in us kind of contracts just to keep this peace, which is not real peace. It's a manufactured false peace. And how good it then can be just to share with a friend what is really going on, or to talk it out in a healing session, or to let it come up on the surface and be with it in a loving way on retreat. Or if there can be find a way to really talk to each other. What we feel and what is really true for us. And what an ease can this bring into our being and lift heaviness from the heart so that we can come back to a real ease and peace. And this being truthful to ourselves, to what is really, to what is real in the ground, sorry, this being truthful to what is real is the ground for real love to flow. And that's why this love is glad when truth prevails. Somehow I feel like saying this again because it's so important to be truthful to ourselves. So this being truthful to what is real is the ground for real love to flow. And that's why this love is glad when truth prevails, because on that ground it can grow more of its own kind. Love knows no limit to its endurance, no end to its trust, no fading of its hope. It can outlast anything. It is, in fact, the one thing that still stands when all else has fallen. And I don't know what to say to this, because it so much speaks for itself. It is, in fact, the one thing that stands when all else is fallen. When all else is fallen. So when all your money is gone. Ajay is laughing. Your relationship broken, a beloved one died, when our health is ruined, or I can promise you, even when you are going to die, it is, in fact, the one thing that stands when all else is fallen. And there is a wisdom which is naturally there in this love. A clarity and an acceptance about how things are, which naturally calms us down in these difficult situations. And it holds us like a loving mother. And in this, there lies its power and its healing. And the text says, all gifts except love will be supersede one day. And what are these gifts which is talked about here? To my mind, there came approval, power, money, sex, fame, financial security, control, and there are many more. But when one touches upon this love, what naturally happens is one will lose the interest in all these worldly pleasures. And have only one lover. Which is serving this high quality of love. And it does not mean at all that you have to give everything away and give up anything. Basically, you don't need to give up anything at all. It is just that this love has then priority before anything else. And anything else follows naturally. And the text goes on. For if there are prophecies, they will be fulfilled and done with. If there are tongues, the need for them will disappear. If there is knowledge, it will be swallowed up in truth. So it says prophecies will be fulfilled. What does that mean? Because there is only one true prophecy, and this is the prophecy about this love, which is talked about right now. And if we are in this love, this prophecy is fulfilled. And done with. Everything just starts to flow in its own accord. No need to talk about it anymore. In the end, even the Dharma itself, as a teaching disappears, and left is just this love that takes care of itself in the best way imaginable. So our text says, for if there are prophecies, they will be fulfilled and done with. And I also had to think about all these prophecies around 2012. They are done with. For if we are flowing in this love, the only thing that is naturally done is to follow the flow of love and where it carries us. The only thing that is necessary to be done for this is to stay in the heart and to trust in this love. It also says, if there are tongues, the need for them will disappear. Because what needs to be done in every given situation is then very obvious and clear. There is no need anymore for big talks about anything. Nothing needs to be known by mind, for there is a much bigger wisdom available in this state of love. And the Bible goes on, if there is knowledge, it will be swallowed up in truth. So if there is knowledge, we are in our minds. But when we are with what is true, we are fully connected to what is real and here. One may not immediately feel and see the full spectrum of what is there in this love and truth. But by connecting it again and again, it will deepen and show its full radiance and beauty. And on the same time, there will be no end to this beauty and love. And it also says, for our knowledge is always incomplete, and our prophecy is always incomplete. And what this means, there is always more to know for the mind. But when we know from this connectedness and from this love, then all that needs to be known is here. And then the text goes on. And when the complete comes, that is the end of the incomplete. When the complete comes, that is the end of the incomplete. So the text encourages us to be open for the complete to come. It calls this true love complete. For when one dwells in this love, one is complete. and completely in the flow. In the flow of love, which is carrying you. And this love is so complete because it has all the beautiful, noble qualities inside of it. With it naturally comes wisdom and truthfulness, kindness and compassion. And there is a natural, childlike joy in it. There is depth and there is warmth. There is clarity and the natural feeling of being well. There is awareness and consciousness, peace and freedom. This love has really the capacity of embracing everything. And to go on with the text, when I was a little child, I talked and felt and thought like a little child. Now that I am a man, my childish speech and feelings and thoughts have no further significance anymore. And what is meant by this child? This child is the little ego inside of us, created by conditioning, thoughts, opinions, and viewpoints. And now that I am a man, my childish speech and feelings and thoughts have no further significance anymore. So when we touch upon this love and this truth and this wisdom, we start to give up listening to our conditioning, listening to our viewpoints, to our opinions. And we will be able to live from this big wisdom and love, which is discovered more and more. And in the text, it goes on, at present we are looking at puzzling reflections in a mirror. The time will come when we shall see reality rule whole and face to face. At present, all is a little fraction of the truth, but the time will come when I shall know it as fully as I am known. So at present we are looking at a puzzling reflection in a mirror. But the time will come when we shall see reality whole and face to face. At present all is a little fraction of the truth. But the time will come when I shall know it as fully as I am known. So I shall know it face to face, as fully as I am known. Because between this knowing and what I am, there will be no difference anymore. I will be fully immersed in this knowing, in this love, like a drop in the ocean. And the last two sentences of this text in the New Testament says, in this life, we have three great lasting qualities: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of them is love. So it puts love upon everything. The greatest of them is love. And you may feel like you have no real connection to this love. But just the longing is there to touch upon. And that's really fully enough. For it will guide you there. And it may be you tasted it, and at times you're frustrated, for the door seems not to be open anymore. But having had the taste of it is enough. It will guide you there. And it may be you spend quite some time swimming in this ocean of love. And it hurts. And sometimes you find yourself on the shore again. But soon it will embrace you fully. May we all come to know this love and live as this love.